In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is in our midst.
He is in our house.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It was a strange day when I found out the first two Bible verses I learned actually were not Bible verses at all. But the way they were always told to me, I just thought they were from the Bible. And they both came from my mother. The first one is, cleanliness is next to godliness. I heard that quite often, and I was sure it was in there someplace. Cleanliness is next to godliness, and I heard it often. The second one was, God helps those who help themselves. And so these two verses that I heard quite often in my youth and sound sort of scriptural, especially if you kind of say it in a certain way, I just took it as that. I didn't always obey it because it was scriptural, but I at least thought that's where they came from. And then reading today's gospel passage, I saw that actually maybe cleanliness is next to godliness. I'm not quite sure about that. But God helps those who can't help themselves. God helps those who help themselves. There's some aspect of truth in that. God wants us to put effort into the things we do in our life. But there's something profoundly missing in that. Because I think it's even a stronger teaching in the church and in the scriptures that God helps those who cannot help themselves. We read in Ephesians chapter 2, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. God made something possible for us that just was not. God was helping us when there was no way we could help ourselves. I think this is illustrated, God's love, God's grace, his sacrificial nature, is illustrated in a story I read. It's coming on the 10th anniversary of the death of Thomas van der Woude. And let me tell you a little bit about Mr. van der Woude. On September 8th, 2008, Thomas van der Woude and his son Josie were out working on their family farm in Noakesville, Virginia. Josie was 20, but he wouldn't be moving out anytime soon. Josie had Down syndrome. So Josie became Thomas's constant companion on the farm, out in the field. And on this day, on September 8th, 2008, while Thomas was working out on his 26 acres of field, Josie was off in a different part of the yard, when a broken septic tank cover gave way under his feet. The tank was 8 feet deep and filled near to the top with sewage. Thomas saw his son fall and he rushed to help him. He pulled and he pulled on his son's arm to no avail. Even worse, no matter what he did, Josie was continuously sinking in the sewage. So his father did the only thing he could to save the boy. He got down in the filth with him. He treaded in the sewage in an attempt to keep Josie's head above the water. But sadly, Josie was still sinking. Thomas would not give up, though. Taking a deep breath, he plunged his whole body into that filth, head first, and he held his boy's body up from underneath. so that Josie could keep his head above and keep breathing. When rescue crews arrived, they pulled Josie out of the tank alive, but Thomas, 66, was dead. This very sad story is also a very beautiful story that expresses what God would do for us. I should mention, too, that Mr. Thomas Vanderwood was a strong and faithful Christian, and that his love for his son and his expression, his sacrificial actions were not all that surprising to the people who knew him. But our Lord Jesus Christ descended from the heavens into our own sin and died to give us life. We say that, it almost becomes a formula. But if we hear this story, this true story, about Mr. Vanderwood, it gives us a sense of not only the dogma or theory, but the love that's behind that. A love that is willing to give all for the salvation of someone else. This morning in the gospel, we heard about a young man who went to Jesus and said that he wanted to follow him, he wanted to be saved, he wanted to inherit the kingdom of heaven. What should I do? He said to Jesus, and Jesus said, you know the commandments. And he said, I've done all these. And he said, one thing you lack, give all that you have to the poor, come, follow me. And the man, as we heard in the gospel lesson, walked away sad because this seemed to him just too much. He couldn't do that. And then Jesus says that famous metaphor, it is harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. It is harder for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for that rich man to enter the kingdom. And the apostles say, well, then who can be saved? And Jesus says, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And I used to think that that passage meant, yes, the person really didn't deserve the kingdom. He rejected, he didn't want to follow Jesus, but Jesus will still save them because God does the impossible. That's what I used to think it meant. But upon reflecting on this, I understood that what seemed impossible for this young man is what God can make possible. See, this young man thought, I can't do that. I can't give up what I have and follow Jesus. I can't do that. What seems to be impossible to us, when we are connected to God, can become possible. So it's not about God saving him, which would have been impossible. It's about God allowing him to change his way of thinking. When we think our way of thinking can't change, this is when we're wrong. When we think, this is my situation, I'm stuck in looking at things this way, this is where we're wrong. Because maybe it is impossible for us to alter our approach, but with God, all things are possible. God helps us. God gets us unstuck by allowing us to be open with our thinking, to having more possibilities, more avenues open to us than we with our limited, godless sometimes approach can see. God makes possible what we think impossible. God helps us get through challenges and difficulties that we face. When we think, how am I going to get through with this? This is just a horrible situation. God can give us the ability to think differently. So I'd like us to try to put into practice some things that would be helpful for us to change our thinking, to allow God to be part of our own thinking process. Firstly, we need to surrender our thoughts, surrender all of our being to Christ. If we surrender ourselves, as we say in the petitions, let us commend ourselves and each other and all our life to Christ our God. If we surrender ourselves to Christ, God changes our worry to worship. Because when we are in a situation where we don't know which way to go, we will say, Lord, I place this in your hands. Lord, you know the way to go. And so all of a sudden we are stopping our worrying and beginning our worship to God. During Lent, we have a beautiful prayer that is written by St. Ephrem the Syrian. O Lord and Master of my life, take from me the spirit of sloth, etc. What do we mean by Master of my life? If not, we have placed everything in His hands. He is our master. He's the master of our life, of our way of being, our way of thinking. He's the master of our thoughts. And we need to place our lives in His hands. Second thing, after committing, surrendering ourselves to Christ, is to replace the negative thoughts in our minds with positive thoughts. Our thoughts are extremely powerful. They can affect things like our mood, our attitude. They affect our physical well-being. They can even affect our actions. Elder Thaddeus said, our life depends on the kind of thoughts we nurture. If our thoughts are peaceful, calm, meek, and kind, then this is what our life is like. If our attention is turned to the circumstances in which we live, if we are drawn into the worry, we are drawn into a whirlpool of thoughts and can have neither peace nor tranquility. So the way we move from that negative, godless, without God thinking into a more positive, godly way of thinking, one way is to have short verses from the scripture, arrow prayers that we remind ourselves throughout the day. In addition to morning prayer and evening prayer and what we do liturgically, having some short verses that we can use throughout the day can help us. For instance, maybe a verse from Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. This is a beautiful verse from the third chapter of Proverbs. St. Gregory Palamas used to say, Lord, enlighten my darkness. And he would say that over and over again. It would be a repeating prayer. He would say, Lord, enlighten my darkness. Abba Macarius of Egypt said, there's no need to waste time with words. It's enough to hold out your hands and say, Lord, according to your desire and your wisdom, have mercy. But if you're pressed in the struggle, just say, Lord, save me. And if that's too hard, just say, Lord. Just having a short word that you can say during those difficult times, those times of worry and anxiety where you don't think anything can change, begin to transform your mind by putting Christ in that spot. And thirdly, choose to recognize the events of the day as opportunities, as beneficial occasions. They may be opportunities to help you in patience, in refraining from anger, opportunity to help you learn how to forgive. There was one of the Desert Fathers. He used to have a problem with foul language. And he went to his Abba and he said to him, "I keep saying stuff. I get angry and I say things and I say bad words and I shouldn't be doing that, but I have trouble. I can't stop it." And his elder says, "I want you to go to such and such a place, and I want you to spend a whole day there, fast, don't eat anything, and I want you to be praying. I want you to keep vigil and ask the Lord for mercy and for help." So he did that. He was obedient to his Abba, and he wanted to get rid of this passion of foul language. And he spent a whole day in prayer in this little area where he was told to go. And at the end of it, actually, he felt so much better. He felt almost like this heavy burden of foul language had been lifted from his heart. And he left the place with a light feeling in his heart. And as he walked out, there was a stone on the path, and his foot hit the stone and stubbed it, and it really hurt. And all of a sudden, the worst language you ever heard came out of this man. And then he came to himself again. He said, "Lord, I have just spent the last day praying. I thought this was removed from me." And he heard a voice say to him, "I've given you the opportunity to put it into practice." So sometimes when events happen in our lives, we can look at it in different ways. We choose to look at it in different ways. We can choose to look at it as, here is just another thing that is messing up my life and causing me grief, causing me worry. Or we can say, perhaps this is an opportunity for me to learn, for me to cling to the Lord, for me not to put my trust in myself, but my trust in God. And when we say that morning prayer of the Optina elders, "O Lord, grant that I may meet all that this coming day brings to me with spiritual tranquility." It's such a pretty sounding and flowing phrase that we say in the morning prayer. But that's what it means. "Help me to greet all that this coming day brings to me, all the nice things and all the not so nice things, with spiritual tranquility. Grant that I may fully surrender myself to thy holy will. Whatever news may reach me during the course of the day, teach me to accept it with a calm soul and the firm conviction that all is subject to your holy will." So this is about choosing to think differently. It's about choosing to surrender ourselves to Christ, choosing to replace those negative thoughts with positive, godly thoughts, choosing to recognize the events of our day as opportunities for our spiritual growth. And when we do that, we begin to transform our way of thinking, our mind. And when we do that, what we have limited ourselves to, what we have thought was impossible and that can't change, when we open ourselves and allow God to pierce our thinking, God makes all things possible. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is in our midst.